Hey, to whoever may need this nugget of encouragement, things will be alright, so quit your worry. I get it, the odds can stack back against the wall, but even consider it such, know you'll stand tall. Sat and watch from the sidelines one too many times. Wicked games to play make me want to lose my mind. Found solitude knowing it'll be over.
Hello everyone, welcome to CEO Talk. This is the woman's journey, right? This is where we do interviews to discuss a woman's career path or their entrepreneur experience, right? I am your host, Jaysa King, on this segment of the Just Jaysa platform. That is where we have all of the amazing podcasts that I bring to you on either a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Saturday within a month. We will be discussing, again, the entrepreneur world, a stay-at-home mom's experience going from a career to being at home, or just a woman with an amazing story. Every Wednesday at 12 p.m. right here on all of your favorite podcast platforms, or check me out on YouTube with a full video. You can also find our past episodes on our website at audacityofwomen.com. If you enjoy these amazing women's stories, make sure you hit the subscribe button, like this video, comment your inspiration, but most importantly, turn on your notifications so you don't miss any of the future interviews. Now, let's jump into this amazing CEO talk for the week.
Okay, so Ms. Rachel,
one
of the things I wanted to know personally was, what is your title? What is it? What is it that you do?
Yeah, I am a satisfaction strategist. So okay. I'm an advisor and a mentor, and I support women entrepreneurs in particular in learning how to grow their business in a way that's in alignment with their values, with what's important to them, and in a way that's sustainable. So I have been working in the entrepreneurial space for about 15 years. Prior to that, I worked in more corporate, small business, but corporate environments. And one of the things I see in the entrepreneur space is so many women in particular trying to keep up with what everybody else is doing and burning themselves out in the process and really losing track of, you know, what their purpose is and the reason they started their business to begin with. And so I believe that you have to create a business that's sustainable and satisfying, and that the factors that go into that are maximizing your impact, your profitability, and your pleasure, your experience of joy and happiness in the process.
Okay. I got it. I'm taking it all in because I know exactly what you're saying now. So it's your coach, your mentor, your business plan is all tied to this one person to help you succeed.
Yes.
Satisfaction strategist.
Yeah.
Got it.
I love that. And it's crazy. I was just reading your bio and trying to, because I know exactly what those means. Obviously, we know what the three words meant, but I was curious on your vision for it, because obviously we create something and we just take what's around us to make it our goal, our purpose. So it's interesting to hear, you know, exactly how you apply it. What would you say was your way of getting into it? What made you choose those words? Because I know I have my four values that structured my business, but what drew you to those three?
Yeah. Well, I would say first thing is that, you know, I have this background of working in primarily in the hospitality industry in my 20s and into my early 30s. And in that space, you know, I worked in some places that were very, very, very profit driven. I mean, down to the penny. Like we knew where every penny went. You know, we knew how to make money. I worked for some companies that were really good. I learned how to make money at these organizations, very, very profit driven, often at the expense of the well-being of employees. I mean, this is something we see in the corporate world a lot. You know, it's all about profitability and the quality of life of employees, even management, you know, just isn't top priority. And really impact isn't necessarily a goal in a lot of those places too, right? It's really all about the profit. And then, you know, I was working in those spaces, but I had this real passion around holistic health and wellness. And so I was studying that and kind of learning and practicing. You know, I started doing yoga when I was like 18 and started you know, learning a lot about like nutrition and holistic wellness and mindfulness and all that stuff. So we sort of had these polarized worlds of like this corporate environment that I was working in that was like, you know, make money at all costs. And then this wellness world that was really contradictory to that. And so when I finally reached the point where I was able to leave and start my own business, I started in the wellness world. I had a wellness center and I was seeing clients as a traditional naturopath. I was doing Reiki. And but I had this background in business and marketing that most of my peers didn't have. And so pretty quickly I found myself, you know, coaching and mentoring them in how to grow their business and how to build a business, how to manage business. And so at some point along the way, I moved more into the business and marketing side of things. And I was doing it really behind the scenes to support holistic professionals, speakers, authors, coaches, a lot of people in the personal development world. And what I saw in those spaces was really similar. It was that people with a really big heart who really wanted to have impact in the world, like something they were so passionate about, found themselves in this circumstance where they're running a business and needing to make it profitable. And often what I saw was losing track of impact, the impact that they wanted to have, in the pursuit of the profitability that was required to sustain the business. And rarely was anybody taking care of themselves. that was kind of always the first thing to be neglected. And then the opposite of that would be people who were so focused on the impact that they wanted to have that they were not paying attention to profitability at all and also not taking care of themselves. And so it was a great way to have a business that was like not making any money. It's not sustainable. You know, people who and just so much passion and so much heart behind trying to have impact, but not understanding that it's not sustainable unless there's a revenue stream. Unless there's money coming in to support you in your life and in the things that are your, you know, your priorities, both outside of the business and in the business. And so I really started to see this cycle of like burnout, of like focus on impact. Okay, can't keep focusing on impact. I have to focus on revenue. Focus on revenue. Now I'm burned out. Now I have to lay off or, you know, quit or, you know, step back from what I'm doing and try to rebuild. And then in those downtimes, people would kind of find that enthusiasm again and go back to the impact, right? And so this cycle would happen. And it just became really clear to me that there has to be a place where you're finding the right balance of those three things. And that where those three things overlap and the Venn diagram of that impact, profit, and pleasure is satisfaction. It's the place where you feel full, where you feel like you're making enough money to live and to feel satisfied with the life experience that you're having. You're able to invest in things for yourself and for your family. You're also having the impact that you want to have in the world. Like you're seeing change happen in people's lives because of the work that you're doing. And you're taking care of yourself along the way. Mm-hmm. You're not neglecting your own well-being in order to have impact or in order to create profits. So that's in my mind where the sweet spot of those three come together.
Hmm. I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
That's for sure.
I do, right? He's over here looking and thinking about business. Like, wait, who are
you? I know.
That's what I want to do. This is my profits, right?
Yeah. Burnout is very real over here.
Burnout is very real for most because it's because we're excited about something.
Yes.
We want to go and we want to do it. We want to do as much as we can. And, you know, especially for women who are also trying to, you know, take care of their children. They're taking care of, you know, other family. Like most of us have other things we're taking care of, right? Yeah. And most of us were taught that taking care of ourselves as the priority is not an acceptable way. But, you know, it's that old saying, like, put your own oxygen mask on first, which is 100% true. And when you're trying to do something really big in the world, it's not just save yourself first. It's like invest in yourself first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not investing in yourself, you're not going to have anything to invest in anyone else or in anything else.
I love that. I do. I like this interview. It's going pretty great. So when you're introducing your business or someone is asking you what it is you do, what is the biggest misconception that people come to when you're explaining your satisfactory and strategic position or role?
Yeah. What I find is that most people think that the solution to their problems is marketing and to just make more money.
Sounds about right.
And so very often people will come to me and they hear me talk about all this stuff. And then we start to work together and they're like, yeah, but like, what about my marketing funnel? Let's just do my marketing funnel. And, you know, the thing is that my, you know, I've been doing this for a while in business and marketing operations for over 25 years in the digital marketing space for over a decade. I'm more than that, almost 15 years. And what I've seen is that there are so many ways you could go about doing things. And everybody who's selling the way to do those things is 100% certain that their way is the best way. And you could ask 15 different marketing professionals and get 15 different opinions about which way is the best way. And there's no right or wrong. It's about finding the way that aligns with you and with your big picture. So very often, you know, when people are asking me like, oh, but what about this funnel or what about this email strategy versus that email strategy? Well, my answer like 99% of the time is it depends. You know, it depends on the big picture of like what you're trying to create. It depends on if you want to spend 20 hours writing those emails or if it's more valuable to you to do a shortened version of that and have the time to go to your kid's birthday party. Like, what's your priority, you know? And so there's also, I think, kind of in that same vein of like, we want to increase revenue by selling more things and we want to market to sell more things, is that there's so much money just being left on the table by not optimizing what's already in place and not building the infrastructure to support the growth of the business. I think those are two huge things that usually are a surprise to people. Most of the time when I come in, I'm telling people to slow down and scale back in order to make sure that the efforts that they're putting out are getting the maximum benefit and they're not just sort of sprinting and throwing things around and getting like 50% return on them.
And that's very interesting that you point that out, because although I've had different platforms for a while, I'm realizing that I'm in that same cycle of trying to be so excited and meeting a lot of people that are in that same cycle of being excited and wanting to just get something out there. And it's crazy because it does connect. We're thinking that doing all these things is going to be great. It's going to reach who we want it to reach, but it's not supported in any way, shape, or form. I've rebranded so much in these past months just because I'm learning, okay, no, this needs to be moved here in order to support this, and it needs to be strategic. And that is very interesting because I think that's a very common trait for all new business owners. We have no idea what we're doing. And like you said, I am a Pinterest queen. I love Pinterest. That is where I learn everything I possibly know. And it's all wrong. But it's true.
The thing is that it's not wrong, right? It's that you can't possibly, especially if you're a solo entrepreneur, you can't possibly do all the things, right? Like if you had a company with a marketing department, you know, a CMO, a director of marketing, a marketing manager, a social media manager, a copywriter, a funnel builder. If you had all those people, then you could go do all those things. But when you're one person, you really have to go, okay, what's the one thing that's going to move the needle right now? And I'm going to get that one thing done. And then what's the next thing? I'm going to get that one thing done. And you have to sort of prioritize what, you know, is your focus on. We go through seasons. Focus is like a season might be focused on creating revenue because that's what you need for your life. Another season, you may have created the revenue and now you have something to invest and you can start to invest more in infrastructure, right? And you start to, you know, pick like, what's the focus of this 3-month period? What's my priority for this moment? And often when I start to talk about like planning in 3-month increments, people kind of default to this idea of the sprint. Like so many business coaches are like, we're going to do a 90-day sprint. We're going to knock all these things out in 90 days. no, just making my nervous system like completely overload. Like I think that's part of my approach too, is like I'm a workaholic. I have worked like a crazy person most of my life, and was always the person who would like be there first, stay there latest, make sure every, you know, high anxiety, make sure every single thing is like perfect, right? And it's not sustainable. So somewhere in this, you know, late 30s, early 40s, I started to clock like, oh, I can't keep doing this. And so I want to find, it's not lazy, I want to find the easiest, clearest, straightest path to the end result that doesn't involve me working until 2 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Amen.
Yeah.
So if you are talking to a new person who's just now starting their own business, what would be a piece? I don't say a piece of advice, but how can I word this? Because we have our questions, but I like to ask a little bit based off how you respond.
Yeah.
And so what would be your way to tell them to approach their business in the very beginning?
Yeah. If I was to tell them one thing, okay, wait, I can't do one thing. I'll give you two things.
It doesn't have to be one.
One thing is I would say start your business the way that you want to operate your business 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And so if your goal is to build a business that, if what's important to you is your lifestyle and the relationships you have with your team and the quality of your experience and the quality of what you're delivering, start that way. So often people get started and they start in a frenzy and they're sort of like not being thoughtful, and then thinking like, oh, once I get somewhere, then I'll slow down. Once I hit a certain dollar amount, then I'll stop working so much. Once I hit, you know, a certain benchmark in my business, then I will, you know, treat my team better, like take better, you know, then I'll pay my team more. But in the meantime, I'm going to find the cheapest people I can. And I'm going to, you know, and it's like, you're bringing that culture into the, you're creating a business in the energy of that, right? And so start your business the way that you want the culture of your business to be in the long term. And know that if you focus on one thing at a time and you get really clear and you do that one thing well, it may not seem like you're going to get as far as fast, but I have seen it over and over again. If you just do one thing and you do it well, you will get there so much faster than if you're trying to do all the things and your energy is dispersed all over the place and you think you're making progress, but what you're really doing is creating chaos and managing chaos. Where, you know, I really believe like picking one offer and focusing on that one offer and delivering it iterations over and over and over again to refine it, versus creating new things all the time and sort of dispersing your energy.
That's great advice.
That's really great advice. I'm definitely considering my life at this moment.
really starting my business. Was that like my team? I'm really nice to them, and I'm very compassionate to them, and I'm very considerate of their needs. Like,
that's awesome.
Let me make sure my team feels that way.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's the culture that you want to create, and you know, if you're in a hurry and you're frantic and you're working at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're sending emails on the weekend, that's the culture that they're working in, whether you intend for that to be the case or not.
I definitely send stuff on the weekends. I do apologize, but not the business that we're in, so I'll leave that to be that.
And it's not to say that you can't do those things. I saw a great example recently of, you know, kind of a signature. Some CEO was like, I know I'm sending this outside of business hours. Do not feel like you have to reply to this.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, or, you know, I've worked on launches, like multi-six-figure launches, million-dollar launches. Sometimes it's Saturday night and something breaks and it has to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And if you take good care of your people, then when you have a problem and you ask for that favor, they're willing to do it instead of feeling like, oh my God, she has me working all the time, every night, every week.
Oh, I would never. I would never. This just, no, I would never. But I love that advice. And if you don't mind, I would love to share that advice. Of course, I'm going to share our conversation, but share that advice with my whole team as they branch off to build their teams too.
Yes. Yeah.
That is great. I love that.
I do have one more question. So we usually do a attention grabber question that's kind of based in our own platform's values. And it is going to be, what are some major habits that you've had to change in order to maintain a relationship and make it sure it grew and it wasn't kind of overwhelmed with your own business ventures?
Like a personal relationship?
Yeah, your personal side.
Yeah, this is great. Because like I said, I'm a workaholic by nature. And so when I met my now husband, we've been together for, it'll be 8 years this summer.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. We got married 2.5 years ago. And he's an engineer and he's very stable, focused, consistent, thorough. and he doesn't take his work home with him, right? So when we first started dating, I was I probably had 5 clients. I at any given time I might be running like 16 projects. I was sort of just like, I was just, you know, and building my own brand and doing all these things, right? And I started dating him and he'd be like, okay, let's go for a bike ride. I get done with work at 5. I'll meet you at my house at 5:30. And I would be like,
what?
No. And then he never pulled his phone out. He would not pull his phone out the entire evening. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I know there's messages. Like, I know there's stuff happening. And so it became like, it was really good for me to have somebody else like set some parameters that I was like, okay, if I'm going to spend an evening with him, that means I'm closing my computer at 5 p.m. and I am not touching it again until the next day. And that means like when we're together, we're together. It's quality time. I'm not like on my phone, you know, sending Voxer messages and doing all the all the things in the evening. It made me much more focused on like the constraints of my day, that, you know, now my day ends at 5. I don't get to just like drag things into the evening or be wasteful with my time. So it created those constraints. And then when we, you know, got married and we moved in together, it was like, oh, we both work from home and he's like an 8 to 5 period. And I have clients in Europe and I have clients in, you know, Hawaii, and I, you know, I'm just sort of on this different mix. And so it was, it's been like a really interesting challenge for myself to learn how to have my business and what I love, that's the flexibility of it, which is, you know, maybe I have a call on a Thursday night at 7, but if I want to then spend Friday at the botanical gardens going for a walk, like I can do that. I can just go, you know, but then, you know, measuring somebody else's time and when he's free and what that looks like, you know, I've had to adapt for sure.
Was it easy for you?
That was my question.
No, it stressed me out really bad at first, you know, to sort of just like just get in the habit of turning things off. When I was so used to just, you know, we have a meeting, we have a launch, we have, you know, there was just so much going on. Yeah, it was definitely a challenge.
That's so funny because I know me and Angel are in the same boat as far as just young kids and husbands. Like I was just talking to her about my husband works overnight. I have a 1-year-old that is in there now. And that transitional period of trying to understand how to balance and shut down is so difficult. We'll just leave it there. It's very difficult. It is so difficult and tedious, especially when you are just getting started and trying to figure it out. But once you do understand that level of pleasure that you described, it's outstanding and it's the best feeling. And now I got to meet it. So I'm going to. Gonna mute the
child. That because there's a baby.
There is, but it's like, it's so, like she was stating, like my husband's in the military, so there's adjustments every few
months.
there's a new one. Well, I won't be home for 3 weeks. I won't be home for 3 months or a year. And it's like, well, we have a business and we have children, we have their activities. And so the adjustment part, I wholeheartedly understand. When we first got married, it was like, what? You're not home. And then like, and so like, I'm the person who puts their phone down. I just want to spend the day with you, but I didn't have a business.
Yeah.
But then I start the business. Like, oh, is that you on your phone? I'm like, yeah. So it is the transition to sacrifice things is hard, especially when the situation changes.
Yeah. So what I would propose, so first off, I don't have kids. So I will give you that disclaimer. I don't know how you all do it.
It's
definitely a different experience. But what I will say is that I would challenge you to say, to think about it in terms of, instead of sacrificing something, that you are being highly selective about how you spend your time. And so if you're trying to grow a business, it's then that much more important that you focus on the one thing that's going to grow your business, instead of like being on Pinterest and going like, oh, this person's doing this. And this one says to post on Instagram 8 times a week, but this one says to post on Instagram 3 times a week. You know, you could get so lost in all that stuff, right? It becomes that much more important that you get really clear on like, what is the one thing that's going to move my business forward right now? What's the one thing I need to do to create the revenue to hire the person so that we can grow faster? You know, what that level of discernment of what really is important to you, and that you're always making a choice, you know? And it's, I can't even imagine a husband in the military where you're like, that's a lot of things that are out of your control, right? And then kids and the business, and, you know, we all make choices, right? Of like, you know, am I going to exercise or am I going to sleep? Am I going to work on my business or am I going to cook a healthy dinner? Am I going to, you know, go be in this interview or am I going to go spend that hour with my kids, right? Like, it's all a choice and it's all unique to you. And that's where this idea that there's like a one size fits all business growth strategy or marketing strategy, just you realize just how absurd that is, because what works for somebody else isn't going to work for you. You need to get it done in 5 hours a week, not in 50 hours a week, you know?
If you could see all the network books I have on my desk right now. I literally have two, and I'll say this is one of my favorites. I really like this.
I can't read it. What is that? Oh,
your first year.
Network marketing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then this one is my new one, Building an Empire.
Nice.
Boy, is it difficult. It is difficult. But yeah, I appreciate your words of wisdom, because it is wisdom and it's really great.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say praises too.
Liz, I am not mad at it. I love this interview. This is pretty great. So we're going to attempt to wrap this up depending on how this goes. So we ended out with asking you, if you had the attention of the entire world and we all run the same language and there were no barriers, what would you say?
I would say that if you are a big-hearted person with a desire to improve people's lives and make the world a better place, then the first thing you need to do is focus on the quality of your own experience, so that you have the ability to share your gifts with the world in the most powerful, impactful way possible.
I love that.
I love that.
I'm digesting it. I'm like, okay, yeah.
I'm going to put that on the page and I'm going to tag you in it, because that was really...
Yes, we definitely appreciate it. We also want to make sure that they can reach you, all of your social media. So do you mind telling us how our listeners can reach you, website, Instagram, everything?
Yes, absolutely. My website is rachelandzalone.com. It is Sicilian. It's a lot of letters. So you might want to, we might want to type that one in. and I'm Rachel Anzalone on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and on Facebook. And yeah, those are all the platforms. And I have my own podcast. It's called Pleasure and Profits. It's at pleasureandprofitspodcast.com. And it's a mix of, you know, kind of my thoughts on all these things and some interviews with some really fantastic guests who've built very successful businesses in ways that are a little bit outside of the norm. And so you get to hear some examples of people doing things sort of following their own beat.
Got it. Well, thank you so very much, Ms. Rachel. It was an honor to talk to you today.
Yeah, absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Yes, thank you so much. I know this ending is kind of weird now that my child is all
it's okay. I love that your baby's there.
But yes, I definitely appreciate you as well. All of these information, everyone knows the links are on our website. And it will be with direct access to your pages. So every link that you shared, I will have it on there as well. But yes, I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you both. This is wonderful. Thank you again.
Well, thank you. You have a wonderful evening.
You too.
All right, guys, that was our episode. Thank you so much for listening to this amazing interview from another CEO. Here at CEO Talk, The Women's Journey, we like to make sure that we are catering to our audience. So if you are interested in being a CEO or you want to just be a guest on the Just Jaysa platform, please make sure you visit our website, audacityofwomen.com, and go under the podcast section. On that same section, you're going to find the sign up links. Go ahead and sign up with us to be a guest on any of the Just Jaysa platforms. Okay. That could be CEO Talk, that could be Just Jaysa Saturdays, or our new segment, which is Awareness and Heritage Panels. And lastly, our biggest one, which will be coming now in May, Contrary to the Culture. So make sure you go ahead and sign up. I would love to have some new guests. But before you go, thank you so much again for watching or listening, depending on your platform. Make sure you like, share, comment, but of course, subscribe to all of our channels on our platforms, as well as turn on your notifications so you don't miss any future interviews. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Jaysa Kane. Until next time.
To whoever may need this nugget of encouragement, things will be alright, so quit your worry. I get it, the odds can stack back against the wall, but even consider it such, know you'll stand tall. Sat and watch from the sidelines, one too many times. Wicked games to play, make me wanna lose my mind. Found solitude, knowing it'll be over soon.